Okay, you may recognize this lady here, Gabby Logan. And she was the host of the BBC Sports Personality of the Year last week. Now, I'm amazed anyone still watches the BBC Sports Personality, because most of the people who win it don't seem to have a personality. And it's quite an old-fashioned, contrived show. I need that one on, Scott, if that's all right. Thank you. And then I can know when to stop, all right. But she upset a lot of people because she concluded the show on the BBC of all things by saying, "Happy festive season, everyone. Happy festive season." And folks all complained, hold on, it should be a happy Merry Christmas, not a happy festive season. And so people have been saying, has the BBC kind of, are they just trying to please everyone and have they gone woke and all the rest of it? Well, they went woke years ago. But folks have been moaning about it. But really, there is one true reason why we celebrate Christmas, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. Unless you want to go back to when we were a pagan country, and you don't want those traditions, trust me, they were not very nice, not very pleasant. And we kind of converted traditions of paganism, and we made them a Christian festival. And we've been celebrating the birth of Christ ever since. And really, traditionally, the main reason we celebrate the Christmas time is the birth of Jesus. Sadly, of course, not everybody appreciates the reason for the season. And I came back from Moldova. I was in Moldova in November. And if you go and ask people about Jesus in Moldova, most of them have got an understanding. Because in Moldova, the Orthodox Church is very, very strong. And in the schools, there's a great influence on the people. And if you ask basic questions, they will have an answer. Used to be like this here 50 years ago or 100 years ago. But sadly, Britain has become more and more secular, humanist in their outlook. And just this little video clip will illustrate just the lack of understanding many have as to who Jesus is.
I'm out on the streets today to ask people one question. Who do they think Jesus is?
I don't believe in him.
No. Yeah. Don't think he existed?
Nope.
I respect people that believe in him, but I don't really.
I don't have a clue, man. I don't have a clue.
I don't think I have an answer for that.
Me? Yeah. I got the hair for it. I believe there was a person called Jesus. Other than that, I don't think he's real, in my personal opinion.
Probably believe Jesus was a real person at some point, just not in the same light that people depict him as now. Been taken out of the light of what it was back then and made into something much, much larger than it was.
He was a really cool guy. Lots of really good things to say, but I don't believe he was divine.
I think he's a prophet in Islam. Yeah, he's one of the Muslim prophets.
It's what keeps people going in the morning, isn't it? Pray to someone to help with their prayers, keep them in their life. Religion. Don't bother me.
I believe in more like, you know, universe and what's going on with the world and the planet and Mother Nature and stuff like that.
God's son. I don't know if I believe it, but I believe that there's something. Like, there's something there.
Jesus is up there. He's always up there.
He's definitely a historical character. I know whether he was the son of God remains to be debated.
Yes, Jesus is our God.
He was God's son.
Son of God.
Jesus is the person that I turn to in my darkest moments, but also in my lightest moments. And I feel sometimes we turn to him when we feel we need him, but actually he's there for when we want him as well.
I think he's real. And I'm not entirely sure that he was the son of God as such, but I think he's clearly an important figure to a lot of people and held sway over such a large number.
I think Jesus was a real person that kind of got like translated over like years and years and years, yeah. And like it just kind of like made out to be a bigger thing than it actually was.
Yeah, I think he was a real guy. Maybe not as miracleized as it is in the Bible.
It's just been kind of like sensationalized and like stereotypes and
yeah,
kind of just made it into like this thing that he wasn't.
I just think a lot of the time when humans are recording stuff, they tend to, I don't know, change it slightly. Like obviously it 100% could be real. I wasn't there, I don't know. But I think parts of it were changed, I think. But I still think he was a good person and he did a lot of good for people in that part of the world.
Definitely like a historical figure, but I'm just not sure
if he was a miracle worker, maybe not political, but I think a charitable figure.
So he was existing for sure, no doubt. And he had this positive spirit, which he was carrying forward.
He led people to the right path.
He's our Lord and personal savior, and he means the world, he's everything.
God manifest in the flesh, so that God in his mercy might save us from our sins.
I don't believe in Jesus. I mean, I grew up in a home who don't believe in it, so I just kind of gone off of that.
I think he's who anyone wants him to be, because it's about belief. And I think if you want to believe in Jesus, then it's about your feeling, your personal feeling and how you feel. That's who I believe Jesus is.
I don't know, I don't think it's real, to be honest, but well, so I think it's saying that, but I don't know. It's my opinion, you know.
Well, everyone is welcome to their own opinion. That's why it's called an opinion. But if you want to dig a bit deeper, it's worth investigating. If Jesus is who we claim to be, then the greatest decision we ever make is when we ask that question, who is Jesus and what is he to me? What did Jesus say about himself? Well, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save." Don't miss that word, came. Came. The reason Christ said he came into the world was to seek and to save the lost. And in that one simple sentence, you have recorded the most sublimest statement concerning the mission of Christ. He spoke those words to a man who was hiding in a tree. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with a man in a tree. Jesus had a short one. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down." In fact, if you don't know the story, let's just watch it for a few minutes.
Everyone hated Zacchaeus. They hated anyone who collected taxes for the Roman governor. But they especially hated Zacchaeus because he was a cheat and took more than he should. Zacchaeus was very rich and lived in a fine house. His best friend was money. One day on his way to work, Zacchaeus heard voices shouting that Jesus was coming. He had heard a lot about Jesus and wanted to see him, so he ran to the market. But the market square was crowded, and Zacchaeus was too short to see over the people's heads. No one would let him through either.
Teacher, speak to us.
So Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree to get a better view.
Zacchaeus, come down. I am going to be your guest today.
Zacchaeus could not believe his ears. Jesus was going to come into his house. The people were furious. They could not understand why Jesus had chosen to stay in the house of a cheat and a traitor. Zacchaeus was so amazed that Jesus had stopped by, he announced he was going to give half of all he owned to the poor. And if he had cheated anybody, he would give them back four times what he had stolen.
God's forgiveness has come to this house today.
And to Zacchaeus, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Many of you will know that story if you went to Sunday school, and some of you came to Sunday school here many years ago, and you've seen it at Kids Club. Many of you will know the song, "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he." But in that one statement, Jesus summarizes his reason for coming. And I want to pull out three key threads from that verse for our thoughts today. And here's the first one. He came. The Son of Man came. He came. There is no doubt that Jesus was a historical figure. No historian doubts that fact today. People will doubt whether Jesus did the miracles that the Bible says he did. And people will doubt whether he was just a good man, an extraordinary man, or whether he was divine, the Son of God. That's where the debate is. But historically, nobody doubts that a person called Jesus walked on planet Earth. And nobody doubts, apart from those in the Islamic faith, that Jesus actually died upon the cross. Even the critics of the Bible say it's one of the greatest historical proven facts that a man called Jesus ended up dead on a cross. Christians believe he rose again. And there's lots of evidence for that. And many will say, well, we don't believe that part, but you cannot doubt the fact he lived and he died. I remember being shocked a few years ago, just after COVID, my family didn't want to go on holiday. They were still a bit nervous. I was desperate for some sunshine. And so I pestered them and pestered them. And in the end, they said, go on your own. And so I did. So I'm not proud. So I booked a tennis holiday in Menorca. And I just went, and there was a group of people who liked tennis just turned up. There's about a dozen of us. So we played tennis for 4 hours in the morning, did our own thing in the afternoon. And then as a group, we just met up and enjoyed a meal together at night. And there's a very clever German lady called Heidi. And she worked for the car park company Ringo. Very top job, a career woman. She'd had no children, life to her career, very, very successful. And I sat next to her, and she knew what I did as a job, that I was a church leader, an evangelist. And she just said to me, out of the blue, she said, well, I don't believe it. So I said, well, that's your choice, Heidi, but what bit of the Christian story don't you believe? She said, well, I don't believe any of it. No, I said, no, what bit? She said, I don't even believe Jesus existed. I said, why? Well, I don't know. I just don't believe it. I said, you're an intelligent woman. You've raised, you know, you're at the top rung of your job. And you know, you've got brains. Have you never thought to actually examine the evidence before you dismiss it all? And we had some good conversations during that holiday. And yes, I did beat her at tennis. England 1, Germany 0. Now, he came. That's an important statement because Christians believe Jesus was more than a historical figure. He was the eternal Son of God who chose to enter his own creation. You and I didn't start life until, well, the technical term I think is that the sperm fused with the woman's ovum. Life was created. And you are an incredible being. When you look in the mirror tomorrow morning, just go, wow. Because the experts tell us that the odds, the probability of you being born is 1 in 400 trillion. 1 in 400 trillion. You won. Hey, forget the camels, forget the sandman. You won. That's why you're here today. You yourself are in some ways a living miracle. But the Bible teaches Jesus always existed. He's the eternal Son of God who chose to enter his own creation. And that's why we celebrate the what we call the incarnation. God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You know, on February the 15th, 2021, there was a doctor who performed, and I'm going to say this word wrong, an appendicectomy, a surgical operation in which the vermiform appendix, a portion of the intestine, is removed. The doctor performing it is this guy here in grey. That's the best photo I could find of him. Dr. Evan Kane. Dr. Evan Kane. During his 37-year medical career, he had performed 4,000 of these operations. So he was a seasoned doctor. He knew exactly what he was doing. So the surgery was not unusual. But it was unusual for two things. First of all, this was going to be the first operation using local anesthesia. Is that the right word? Send you to sleep. Anesthesia. Thank you there, Ruth. You give me an amen, sister. Doctors believed that you couldn't trust a local anesthesia. You had to put the patient right out. Never been done before. To actually operate on someone when they were still conscious, but the pain was dulled. And of course, as he wanted to find a patient, no one wanted to volunteer. They didn't want to be the mug who the pain suddenly or the anaesthetic wore off halfway through an operation. And he saw patient after patient, no one would volunteer. Until Tuesday morning, February the 15th, he found a patient. The operation went to plan. The patient was prepared, wheeled into the operating room. The anaesthetic was applied, and Dr. Kane, as he had done hundreds of times before, performed this basic operation. It was a success. Now, I said there were two unusual things about this operation. The second one is this. Dr. Kane actually operated on himself. No one volunteered to be the patient. So to prove that the anaesthetic would work, he chose to operate on himself. That is remarkable. And I just thought of that because it's so back to front. It would never normally happen, but it happened in that operating theatre. How can the eternal God enter his own creation and become one of us? The Bible says he did, and he came for a reason, because there was no other good enough who could pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. As God looked at the world, we were all in the same condition. And we couldn't help ourselves. So God had to come and be our helper, be our rescuer. He placed himself in our world, just like the doctor placed himself in his own operating theatre. He placed himself in our shoes, just as the doctor placed himself on the operating table. He placed himself in our place, even on the cross, to deal with the problem, just like the doctor operated and removed the problem, his own burst appendix. And the Bible says he came, and he came for a reason. The Almighty God entered our world. And so his birth is different to every other birth. We were born to live, but the Bible says he was born to die. A time had been set that one Friday afternoon outside Jerusalem, when he was age 33, that he would give his life upon the cross. So he came. Here's the second point. He seeks. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. You'll all be familiar with these words.
Your mission, Jim, should you decide to accept it.
Your mission, should you choose 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 to accept it.
Hollywood has used it again and again and again. Your mission, if you choose to accept it. Hey, the Bible makes it very clear that the coming of Jesus was part of a mission, and he chose to accept it. He came looking for something, or rather, should I say, someone. Jesus himself put it this way in Luke 15. He says that he told three parables, three stories with a spiritual meaning. I always liken a parable when I'm talking to kids as a jam donut. You know a jam donut? You got the fluffy, sticky cake on the outside, and you bite into it. And as you bite into it, a blob of jam falls all down your shirt or your jumper. Oh. A hidden blob of jam in a beautiful cake or sticky cake. And a parable is like a donut. You got the story, which is like the cake, but on the inside, hidden away, is the jam bursting out, the spiritual meaning. Why is Jesus telling this story? Because he wants us to learn something. And Jesus told three parables, three stories, one after the other, all emphasizing the same point in Luke chapter 15. He spoke about a sheep that went walkabout, got itself separated from the rest. And of course, sheep are stupid creatures, aren't they? If one sheep goes through a hole in the fence, the other sheep don't go, bye-bye, stupid. Now they go, let's follow. And they all end up lost. A sheep that's separated from the others. And then he spoke about a woman who, in her room, dropped a coin on the floor. And she couldn't see it. The room was dark. She had to put a light on. She had to get the broom out and sweep to see if she could find it. A coin that was lost. And then he told about a son who said to his dad, Dad, I've had enough. I can't wait for you to die. Give me my share of the inheritance now so I can go and enjoy life and go and spend it. Three stories, all making one point. Three different ways in which a person can be lost. a sheep lost because of its own decision. A coin lost as a result of someone else's actions. And a son rebellious against his father. Three ways to be lost. A sheep, separation. If you're a parent here, you'll have had that moment at some stage in your life when you suddenly say, where's little Johnny? Where's little Joey? They were here a minute ago. I remember being in one of the chemist shops, Superdrug, down in Fareham, where my little boy was small, and he decided queuing up in the queue with everyone else was boring. So while I was waiting there, he decided he'd go and look for something more interesting. And I hadn't realised he'd gone until I suddenly heard the scream of, ah, where are you? He'd separated himself. Just like a sheep and the flock, the Bible says, we are lost spiritually. We've wandered. Each one, like a sheep, has wandered away from God. A coin lost as a result of someone's actions. The Bible says, in Adam, when he fell, the whole world fell. One man's sin entered the world through one person, and all have sinned. It's been passed on to us, whether we like it or not. And then you have a rebellious son. And if we're honest, most of us are not like a sheep that wanders. We're like rebels who say to God, sorry, mate, I'll run my life my way, not your way. Three ways to be lost. But here's the good news. He came to seek what was lost. And the message of the angels is this. A Saviour has been born. A Saviour. Quite often on a Sunday afternoon, I talk to a group of people, mainly Muslims, and they will insist, as we talk, argue, and debate, that Jesus was a prophet. That's all he was, another messenger, like Muhammad and all those before him. They haven't read the text, have they? Because the angel says, not a prophet has come, not a messenger has come, a saviour, a rescuer has been given. And here's why.
A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray five times a day facing east and to follow five important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could. But he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man. Dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was are saved.
That's why I'm a Christian, because God came to me in my hole and lifted me out. And he does that for each one of us. Thank you, Scotty. Jesus did what no one else could do. He entered its own creation, came to where we are, that he might lift us from where we are to a higher and a better place. He seeks. He comes to seek. And then finally, he finds. He finds that which was lost. And in that one sentence, we have the most perfect description of the state of humanity, that we're lost. Reminds me of the airplane that was flying, and a message came over the tannoy that said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the good news and the bad news. The good news is we're making record time. The bad news is that we're lost." And if you look at the world in which we live, we are making record time. We have advancements in science, in medicine, in technology. In your hand, when you've got your phone, you have more technology in your hand than they had to put the first man on the moon, thanks to the microchip. We've never had so much advancement, and yet we've got the same old problems. And you and I are battling the same old problems, the problems of a corrupt and sinful heart. Rick Warren, in one of his poems, put it this way, and I could read it, but he reads it better than me because it's got funny words in it.
The Bible says, "Those who forget God have no hope." I was thinking about this, and I sat down and I wrote this down a couple weeks ago. What happens when a culture forgets God? Wealth is idolized. Truth is minimized. Life is trivialized, abortion legalized, television's vulgarized, advertising is sensualized, everything is sexualized and commercialized, our consciences have been desensitized and anesthetized, education is secularized, free markets are monopolized, races are polarized, politics is polarized, sports is scandalized, morals and ethics are liberalized. And in entertainment, crime is sensationalized, immorality is popularized, drugs are legitimized, sin is glamorized. The courts are paralyzed, the breakup of the family is rationalized, manners are uncivilized, Christians are demonized, and God is marginalized. Well, it's no wonder a lot of people don't have any hope.
Hey, the Bible says we're in a lost world, but the good news is Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In a minute, we're going to sing our final carol, which is "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." And it just reminds us that the verses go like this: "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." People who are in the hole, people who are lost, can be reconnected to a holy God, because God sent Jesus, who entered our world, entered the hole in which we live. Goes on to say, "Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth." The reason Christ came was to rescue a lost world, and that's the good news of Christmas. And he can change your life and rescue you. Even this evening, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's sing our last carol together, shall we? So let me invite the musicians up.
Joined the tribe.